Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
Bad Habits, Ed Sheeran. It's just gone 39 minutes after four. And as you know, last night, the American President Donald Trump abruptly left the G7 summit, urging American citizens in Tehran to evacuate immediately, signaling a significant escalation. At the same time, the U.S. has bolstered its military posture in the region, deploying additional refueling aircraft and increasing air defense capacity. Though officials insist there will be no direct combat role, Trump has also made a fresh pitch for reviving a real deal nuclear agreement with Iran, linking de-escalation to diplomatic momentum. All of this is coming as Iran and Israel enter a fifth day of reciprocal strikes, raising global hopes and fears of how far this war may go. And joining me on the line from Israel is Yigal Marcus, who is the director of Republicans Overseas Israel. Yigal, thank you so much for chatting with us here on the Home Run. We were receiving reports within the last half hour that sirens have been sounding in Israel as air defenses work to shoot down incoming missiles. Where are you, and what is the situation like right now where you are?
So I just got out of our bomb shelter. We were there for about 25 minutes. There was yet another salvo from Iran to Israel, to the central and northern part of the country. The difference is that Iran has changed their tactics in terms of firing. So they had, you know, these big launchers that were scattered and are scattered all over the country that Israel has been taking out. Once you fire from these large, heavy launchers, it becomes a target for Israel. So what Iran has done today is that they have now deployed mobile launchers, which means that they can launch and then beat away. It's very hard for Israel to then find them. But what that means to the home front is that the amount of time we have to prepare has gone from about 30 minutes to under 10 minutes. So now if the alarm goes off, and if the alarm goes off while we're on this call, I'm going to have to skedaddle, but it gives us a lot less time to get to our safe rooms, to our bomb shelters, not only for people who have them like we do, but also people who do not have them that have to go to a public shelter. So the dynamic has changed today. Hopefully, we won't have any more problems as a result of that.
Can we read anything into that? Can we read that the Iranians are becoming more and more desperate, or am I reading too much into it?
Well, they're certainly becoming more desperate. There's no question about that. They're virtually begging to return to talks, which, of course, it's too late for that. But they are desperate, but they're also learning, and they're learning about tactics to try to prolong this war as long as possible, and to try to incur as much damage on the Jewish state. But I think that, like anybody, you know, they are learning and they are adapting accordingly.
President Trump has said to Iran that he wants a, quote, real deal on nuclear negotiations. How realistic is that right now, following on from what you're saying, especially while Israel and Iran are actively exchanging fire?
Yeah, we've gotten some mixed reports today about what he means by that. But the most recent report that I've gotten is that when he calls it a real deal, he means surrender. The time for negotiations is over. I think that, you know, I don't want to speculate in terms of what's happening, but there have been things over the last 24 hours that have been concerning to both the Israelis and the Americans, and as a result, they are scrambling to, you know, position military assets around the Middle East. This is the U.S., of course, but I think at this point, given how dangerous this regime is and how weak they are right now, the only real outcome is surrender.
Trump also urged evacuation of Tehran today. In your opinion, does that kind of U.S. warning reflect genuine concern, or is it mostly symbolic political posturing?
You know, with President Trump, it's a little bit of both. You know, I think that, nobody, unlike the other side, we don't want to see civilians die. You know, we actually have a deep respect for the Iranian people. We have a long, ancient history with them, And so we don't want to see civilians die. And so, and neither does President Trump. President Trump is very, very concerned about civilian death. But this, he knows, is a righteous war. And because the amount of potential civilian deaths that could occur if the evil axis gets the bomb, which they may be very, very, very close to, would be far greater than anything else. So I think part of it is posturing. You know, President Trump does make statements like that. But part of it is the fact that he is legitimately concerned about civilian deaths, but also he realizes that this is a righteous war and that the only way to bring this regime to its knees is to attack them at their very heart of Tehran, at their infrastructure there, and at their capital. So I think it's a mixture of both.
The US is reinforcing air defenses and deploying tankers. But as you've said, and as we've been saying, Trump insists it won't fight. Do you think that this posture actually deters Iran, or do you think it opens a window for them to test Israel directly?
Well, I mean, they've already been testing Israel directly. You know, they've been lobbing rockets at our civilian centers.
Yeah, that's quite a test.
Without limits. It doesn't get worse than that. You know, they're already. I do think that Israel's got some surprises up its sleeves that, you know, maybe they don't want to use, that they don't have to. But that being said, you know, what people don't realize is that if and when the Americans decide to take action, it's not going to be offensive action. It's going to be defensive action, because if we get the intelligence that Iran, somewhere in Iran, is putting together the components of a bomb, and that could be live any day or any moment, an attack is not offensive in that mm-hmm. scenario. It is very much defensive. The president has the constitutional powers to launch defensive attacks that have an imminent threat on the U.S. or its interests, and so it would be offensive. This is not us trying to, you know, bring regime change, although we may get regime change. What this is the very most desperate moments of Iran potentially trying to run to a bomb to put together those components, and us scrambling to put an end to that. That's a scenario that I think we may be facing, and in that case, none of these things are offensive in nature. These are very defensive, but sometimes, as they say, sometimes a great offense is a great defense. And in this case, a great offense could be very well.
Yigal, from your view in Israel, how are Republicans overseas reacting to this evolving U.S. stance? Is there unity, concern, or disagreement within the community about what America should do next?
I think there's total unity here. I think people are very proud of how President Trump has stood with the Jewish state, and of course Ambassador Huckabee, who has been the greatest friend that in our wildest imagination we could have ever asked for. But I think people realize that this is possible because Donald Trump was able to get Israel the weapons that it needs to do this. Nobody thought the outcome would be what it is right now, which is effectively complete air superiority over the entire country of Iran. Nobody thought that. But without the tools that he provided, this would not be possible. And you know, God forbid, had we had another president up there who did not support Israel, like a Kamala Harris or a Joe Biden, we could very well see an Iran with a bomb threatening us. And, you know, it's Israel's one bomb from destruction, God forbid. So you are very proud of the support that the Republican Party have demonstrated. Yes, you do have some loudmouths on the alt-right who don't have an American first MAGA policy, but an America only policy, like the Tucker Carlson's and Candace Owens of the world. But those are, you know, far becoming just loose cannon, you know, opinions from the alt. But at the end of the day, President Trump has really delivered on the support that we desperately need, and the results speak for themselves.
Yigal, we've been receiving reports that possibly Khamenei's inner circle are in contact with or heading to Russia. And earlier in the program, I spoke with a Russia expert who said he wouldn't rule off the table that Russia might send in its own army and its own troops to help the Iranians. Is there a sense that you get, whether you sense the same thing from the Russians or not, but do you think that this could spiral into a broader regional war?
So, you know, it's very strange to me when people, you know, look to Vladimir Putin to try to negotiate an out here. This is a person who has waged a war for 3.5 years against an innocent neighboring country, and people are looking to him to make peace. It's just a very strange thing to me. You know, at the end of the day, Vladimir Putin's already on his last heels. His military has been decimated. It's very, very old. None of his, you know, his S-300, S-400 air defense systems have worked. They've been totally neutralized by the Israelis. And so sending in troops, I'm not sure what that means, sending in troops. You know, Israel doesn't have troops there. So who would they be sending troops to? To do what? They're not sending troops through Syria. They're not sending troops through Lebanon. They're not sending troops through Jordan. So they can send troops to Iran as much as they can send troops to China if they want to send troops to China, or if they want to send troops to Canada or Australia, go right ahead. I don't have a problem with that. But at the end of the day, I got to tell you, Vladimir Putin, he's been humbled by this.
Yeah,
he's irrelevant. He's totally irrelevant.
Yigal Marcus, Director of Republicans Overseas Israel, we really appreciate you chatting with us, especially as you chat with us between the sirens. Yigal saying there that he's just come out of his bunker before taking this interview. And I think we need to realize that with all the people we're crossing to in Israel, all of them, and when I was setting up these interviews, were saying to me, well, I'll chat with pleasure, but only if I'm not in a bunker, because the situation can change from moment to moment. And of course, we know that, and we are aware of the situation, and we are keeping count of the growing number of Israelis who have been killed. Since Friday, the Iranian missile assault has tragically claimed 24 Israeli lives and wounded 592 civilians, 10 of whom are in severe condition. Hospitals are strained, emergency wards are staffed around the clock, trauma teams are stretched thin, and Sheba Medical Center is treating scores of blast victims underground to protect them from ongoing missile fire. In the face of this, the African Friends of Sheba has stepped up to support rapid response care and rehabilitation efforts for soldiers and civilians alike. And